Hello and welcome to the Gaming Tadpole with Chase and Rihanna.
Hey.
No. So you mentioned before recording that we start a little bit later, and you said that you have some Christmas lights or something to get done.
No, I didn't. All right. I did not say I had Christmas lights.
I'm trying to work
to
around you.
I'm saying I have things to do.
Okay, all right. Well, because of that, there is probably one thing I'm going to cut out and save for another time, and that is one of the two game reviews. So today on the show, we're I just love that smile. I don't know. You're just so pretty.
Thanks.
The game that I felt we need to be talking about because it came out. And there are people having thoughts. I have thoughts. And I'm talking about Cyberpunk 2077, the last big game to release this year. And my opinions might ruffle some feathers. So I will, I'm going to explain myself. But it's just, if you've seen me post on Twitter or Facebook, you know, my experience has probably been different from what the popular experience has. And I will say exactly what that is when we get into it. And then the other game review, I'm going to have to push that for another time because I want to give that full time to do a fun review, and because I had jokes planned, but you have things to do. So I'll save that for next time. And that would be a show go. But I can't wait to talk about that either when we get to it. Instead, what we will replace that with are the news, which I have two news stories. And that is the aftermath of the Game Awards. Which, you know, we did a live stream last week or this past Thursday and had a lot of fun. Now, I will admit, I was maybe harsh on some things, but looking at online, it turns out I was not the harshest. I was apparently really nice because people out there are saying, no, the Game Awards sucks. This year was trash. And I will agree and disagree with them. And I'll explain why they're so worked up about this year. Or at least they're saying they're disappointed. This is not a great, excellent year. And the other thing is Space Jam 2, it's been in development hell only because of COVID. It was supposed to, you know, they have a Space Jam sequel in the works starring LeBron James. They had a teaser for it a while back, but because of COVID, they had to push back filming because you know how things are. But now they're starting to kick back into gear on working on that movie and hoping to get it out the year after next or so, but it's very soon. So the original Space Jam had a game tie-in, if you remember, and they want to have a game tie-in for this one, but they want it to be developed by independent studios this time, which is interesting. They have a little game jam going on. And I didn't even pay attention to the Nintendo news because I was just too busy playing Cyberpunk. But you were on top of that. So you can definitely be in full swing on what sort of Nintendo goodies as you look around the room, either excited or nervous. You know what? I'll say, even though I didn't watch the Nintendo Indies Direct, there was one game they announced there that I caught the trailer for that I'm looking forward to. I don't know if you have that on your list, but it's coming out next month. Made by an indie developer that has made a previously a very sensational indie game that a lot of people who weren't even that inverse in the indie games, they're like, oh, I don't know about the small game scene, but I love that game. And we'll say what that is. But that's what's going to be on the show. How are you? You had such a day, I bet, because of running a little late. But you know what? I'm just glad that you're here with me. You're doing this with me because you are an amazing friend and co-host, and I can never stop saying that enough. You know, we mess with each other, but earlier today was on TikTok, and I mentioned like the good things on TikTok, and there's also bad things on TikTok, but I saw quite a few little videos of Black women going on and explaining the rough situations going on in their life. They've been evicted or they're feeling the blues. And one of them even said, like, I don't know if I can keep going, as in I might just end it. So there was one that was in that critical position that I decided to lend my phone number to, because I get that she is a stranger, but when you look at people who are in need of help, and you don't know that they have people to turn to. And when you see things like that, and I even mentioned another thing before starting this regarding a certain person that might be, I mean, not to get into political stuff or all that, but, you know, things going on in prison with certain people of color getting killed when they don't. But whenever I see those stories, it just makes me really appreciate that you're here with me. Not just even off podcasting. Like, I put in the video that I was broken into tears when Brandon Bernard was killed unrightfully. And it just made me just very much appreciative. It didn't make me appreciative, but it just means how much it matters that you're alive. And yeah, so I made that video, and yeah. Anyway, I see that face, but I really do mean it. You know, it's unfortunate year we're in, and next year may or may not be better, but that's where we have fun, right?
But there's always hope.
Yeah. So speaking of hope, let's talk about a game that there are people who have been giving up on hope regarding a certain big AAA title that everybody was looking forward to, or a lot of people were. So CD Projekt Red, they're a studio, I think, over in Poland, but they're somewhere in the European areas. And people know them for the Witcher series, which is this medieval RPG about this. I don't know if he was a bit, because I never played the Witcher. I didn't even see the Netflix Witcher show. I hear it's great. I don't know why I haven't got on that yet. But it's regardless, it's a big IP that, even though they weren't the original creators of, they adapted into a video game series that a lot of people love. So now they adapt another thing, which is a board game called Cyberpunk 2077, and they turn that into an open world first person RPG action game.
Wait, it was a board game?
Yes, it was. It's a tabletop game. There's a tabletop game called Cyberpunk 2077. And that's what at least the world of this game is.
Wow. I would not have. Nope. Like, if that was a trivia question, I would have been like, nope, never. Okay.
Well, now there's an anime in the works too. So there's a lot of hype going. Yeah, Netflix is doing an animated series on Cyberpunk 2077 ahead of its release. Again, a lot of hype. And they've been working so hard on this game, they even had to delay it. And people are like, man, why is this game delayed? I need it out now. Stop delaying the game and let me play it. Well, joke's on all those people who kept on bugging CD Projekt Red to release the game, and also who sent death threats to the company. That's how much people were wanting to play this game. They delayed it just for a month because they're like, hey, we need to fix on some things. No, this game comes out now. And so you probably heard, because unfortunately now, right now, the first thing you think of when you think Cyberpunk 2077 is that, oh my gosh, this game is buggy. Oh my gosh, it is broken. Oh my gosh, this is where I might ruffle feathers. Because
I didn't think of any of those things, but that is just me based on what I've seen, but okay.
No. So the game launched not at a, in a kind of a rough state, as in, you know, it's not completely polished.
Oh, I understand that. Yeah. I just mean content-wise, but
well, you know, there.
But I did hear that there are issues of PC and other console-wise.
Yes, and I will say, because I played this on the base PS4, the platform that people are saying is unplayable, the worst version to play the game, and I know, because I'm gonna get people saying, "Oh, you're biased. You're a Cyberpunk fanboy. You're CD Projekt shill, or you just wanna say this because you love the game." No, Honestly, I was even thinking of not getting this game originally. And then at the last week or last month, I decided, you know what, I'm going to play it. And I never played, as I said, I never played The Witcher. So again, I'm not coming this from like a Cyberpunk or CD Projekt Red purist. I didn't even watch a lot of the advertisement for the game. I didn't see any of the game or many of the gameplay trailers. I only saw like one or two. So I was almost blindfolded into this game. Or whatever figure of speech you want to say.
You were blindfolded into the game. That doesn't make any sense.
I was blindfolded. I was
No, try again.
Okay, where's the start button?
No. Wow. If you don't even know where the start button is, we have more issues. Because it's your controller and it didn't move. Okay.
No. Well, hey,
blind playthrough, you can say. You're not saying you're playing blindfolded unless you're actually closing your eyes while playing the game. Okay.
You know what? That will be a charity challenge for next year at Extra Life. We play a game with
What? Not that game for sure. That is not content. Well.
All right. But I've played the crud out of this game, and then I have to say, yes, bugs are there, but nothing game-breaking. And this is where I'm going to ruffle feathers, because people are like, what? I watched Angry Joe or some big YouTuber play. I know. I watched a big YouTuber play, and they showed all these game-breaking bugs. No, you're lying. It is broken. I wish I was. Like, I'm actually frustrated of how well the game is working for me. Because I'm like, I don't want to come back here and tell you guys that I've been having a great time and just be the odd man out of all the big YouTubers who are mad. And I rightfully so, because when I look at their footage, I see some very disturbing bugs. Like a heist scene that I won't get into much details of, but I saw someone's playthrough on the PC version. And there was like frame rate stutters. There was cars just driving, coming in out of nowhere. It was just bugs galore. And I experienced none of that. And I played the same scenes on the PS4 version. So I don't know what to tell you guys. It's like, I even looked at the game like, why are you working? Give me bugs. I want to be mad like everybody else. I don't want to have a good time. And then I had to think back to myself for a second, like, wait, what am I saying? Because if I don't have align with whatever some of the YouTubers or influencers are saying, then my review is apparently false and it's not the right review or the right opinion. So that's the thing I have to address, because apparently that's the first thing we got to say. Getting into what the game is, when you put those bugs out of the way, you have an RPG with so much customization from the very beginning. Because when you ask someone, what's the story about? You're going to get so many different answers. Right off the bat, you have three origins to choose from.
Yeah, I saw that.
Either you're living out in the country as a nomad, so you're like one of those redneck Trump support. No, no.
Whoa.
No, not.
Country does not. No.
No. Or you are living in the city as a street kid. You know, you start out
like Aladdin.
Kind of a gangster version of Aladdin, maybe.
You're, oh, okay.
No. That's the origin that I went through. I started working with someone at a bar, and I got a job where I had to, in order to save the bartender's rear, because he owes money to a crime gang, I had to go steal an expensive car. And that got me into meeting starting characters, at least what I know from being a street kid, Jackie Wells, who you two start off almost trying to kill each other over this car, because he tries to stab you in the back until both of you get caught by the police. And, you know, years later, you two become best friends, and it's like a huge turnaround. But whatever your origin story you choose, there is one shared main path, and that is eventually you come across this chip. You almost die from someone stabbing you in the back and killing you, but people are able to save you by inserting this chip into your brain, which has your main character B see a holographic image of almost like a subconscious or sharing consciences with this guy named Johnny Silverhand, who is played by I almost said Kanye West. No, I would hate that. I was like, oh my gosh, we gotta do something about, not Kanye West. Why am I getting these two? John Wick. I don't know why I mixed Kanye West with John, the actor who played John.
That was so much a leap. I have no idea how you got that either. Earth, and then you were on the moon. Giant leap. Okay.
I don't know. But that's which is really interesting. He is a Hollywood actor, and this is a big video game role where he plays as one of the main supporting characters after the first act. You even get to see his backstory, where he's the leader of a rock band who decide to infiltrate and destroy the property of this big evil corporation. So you're sharing consciences with him, and you're having a little back and forth go on, which only you could see him while you're interacting with all these other characters. The big conflict that
only you can see him. So it's like he's your motivational coach.
Yeah, he's like the spirit that there's even one scene where one of the NPCs are like, hey, who are you talking to? And I'm like,
oh, that's good. That's really good. Okay.
So only me could see Johnny Silverhand, which it's interesting because you start off hating each other because Johnny Silverhand, he's a jerk. Like he starts off tossing you to the ground saying, I need a cigarette. Get me the heck out of here. I want to kill you. And then, well, when you kind of know his backstory, he's got a lot of problems. And it's interesting is this whole game is about player decision choice. And that even goes with the story to where you can even change things about Johnny Silverhand's perspective. And as you learn more about why, what his motivate, because he talks about, hey, we got to get back to the tower. We need to go plant a bomb there. We got to destroy this corporation. Why? What are they doing? So there's this whole thing that you two are arguing over, or just trying to make a positive connection while a timer is ticking down on your life. So there is a catch to him having this surgery of this little chip on the back of his brain that was shot, is that it's only lasts temporarily. Like he has 2 or 3 weeks. And if he doesn't find a solution to get it out and be able to perform surgery where he can walk freely, he'll die. And both of them will just become nothing. And that's kind of a scary feeling where you die and you don't have this sort of thought of, okay, if I die, then maybe I go to this spiritual essence, or maybe my memories get copied into a chip. You're just gone. And he is scared about that. Well, I mean, yeah, for his life, but depending on how you build this character up is how other people feel about around you. And that's probably the interesting thing is you choose. Hey, I want to be nice, or I want to be mean to this person or that person. But it branches so much. You get to choose who you want to help out, who you're saying, oh, I can't. There's even some missions that are timed, like if you, not timed, but they're saying, hey, come back in the next day. And if you, like I mistakenly did, I got busy with some side missions. I forgot about this one person who was depressed, so he committed suicide. That is a mission I will probably think about not doing in the second play, in my next playthrough. And I'm already thinking about it because right off the bat, I love this game. Cyberpunk 2077 is a brilliant RPG. It takes a lot of elements that you are kind of familiar with. it's an open world game. There's a bit of GTA because you got pedestrians. And if you decide to be if you want to be one of those like destruction heavy, you just want to cause chaos and kill random civilians, then the police officers will come after you, just like in Grand Theft Auto. There's like a star rating chase and everything. And that does ultimately lead into some of the choices. I mean, just like every little main action you put, there's in the menu, there's even a percentage of what percentage is your character this and what percentage is your character that as you go through these missions, which you get to decide. And the what this game, before I talk about the other things that this game does share, the thing that this game brings to the table is the free form of open world. Leading up to the release, you hear talk about this being 100 hours long. It's going to take you several dozen days. Heck, it might be 2077 by the time you beat it. All that is not true. In fact, if you want, you could beat this game in under 10 hours. Because the main campaign is only three acts long, and each of them are like around a couple hours. But there are so many side missions, like an overwhelming amount of side quests, side stories, side jobs. You can do this if you want. You can do this if you want. And you get to choose if you want to take on all these side missions or you want to focus on this story path. And then maybe the next playthrough, you decide, hey, I want to focus on the nomads and help them out. Or I want to go to Night City, you know, help this organization out. You don't have to complete everything if you don't want to. It's all about your decisions and how you experience the game, both from the story perspective and from gameplay. So it's interesting of how this game is just so flexible. And even by customization, where you can customize everything. Yes, you can even customize your junk if you want, which I didn't. That was not something I really felt was necessary for my character. I made him look like me the most I can, with the character customization is deep. But there's even custom, because this takes place in the future where everybody's got augments. They got augments on their arms, their legs, their chests, like all over their body. I like that face, like, yeah, a lot of augments. No, I'll say, I don't think this game is for you.
And I know it's not because yeah. I made a note, a mental note to not watch it when whoever's streaming it. And I went in for one moment to say hi to someone. And then the first image that I saw was not safe. I was like, nope, back. I don't know, last time I pressed back that
yes.
fast in my life. I was like, oh dear, nope, not doing it. Not doing it again, refuse.
Yeah, but this is an R-rated game. Or M-rated, M for mature, and it's very, very M for mature. Plenty of times that they'll drop the F-bomb.
Images, I was like, okay.
Yeah, there is some nudity.
And the customization, I was like, it does not have to show everything like that. Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. That's
how deep the customization is. You can
you don't have to, not you specifically, but no, that's not the...
I avoided that on my character. I didn't go for that, so I just designed them normally. But the other thing is on my Street Kid playthrough.
I bleach. Okay.
On my Street Kid playthrough, there was an early mission where I had to rescue a body that was a dead. What is a barely surviving body that these thugs were experimenting on, and it's a butt naked body inside of an ice cooler, and you have to take down these bad guys and go pick up the body and carry it up. It's actually in one of the gameplay trailers of it. It's one of the early parts of things. I will say though, that is probably the most you'll see of nudity in this game. Like after that, they don't really touch on nudity unless if you decide to go to the strip club and get nasty with people. But that is, again, your choice. But another thing is being that this is so cyberpunk and everything's augmented, there can be a bit of body horror because you see the different augmentations on the characters you come across. Some of them are a little weird. Like there's this gang that just loves to augment their face to where it's apparently a person, but like this half of their face is just nothing but robotic eyes and metal everything. You just have to think.
Cyborg-y.
Yes.
Cyborg-y.
Yeah. And yeah, you can. Well, that's kind of things to know is that, yeah, it's not. On its base scale, on its ESRB rating, not for everybody. Of course, M for Mature, but it is one of those M for Mature rated games that, yes, it is M for Mature. Do not bring your kids to play Cyberpunk. I know there are families that let their kids play Call of Duty, which I don't even understand that, but that is tame compared to Cyberpunk. Outside of that, you just have this really interesting world to explore. Because we always think about what the future is going to look like. And this world is just so big to where you could look at something and go, I want to go to that place. And you can go there. And it's expanded from a city to the countryside. And the countryside is all like more poor. So you get to see the countryside feel more towards modern day. While the city is where all the futuristic things are. Even though you still get robots out in the country too, but anyway, and with the gameplay, it's even based on player decision choice. Do you want to go through games stealth? Do you want to go through games exploring another option? Do you want to go through games going through dialogue choices to try to get yourself out of a combat situation, which you can in certain play, not all the times, of course, but there's so much flexibility in how you even go about this game that it just take forever to just even talk about all the ways you could do it. But the fact that it's got all this freedom to be the RPG shooter that you want it to be, it just speaks to how wonderful this is. But not only that, but the smart writing. Like, I am so invested to all these characters. This is what I really want to see in open world games when you do side missions. Like, I hate those, hey, this is a junk food side quest. It's busy work. You got to complete this if you want to get an upgrade. Almost every side mission that I've gone through has its own mini story. And you feel like, and it's all expanding on this world that you're a part of. And each of them are just so interesting that I remember a lot of them. And I usually, side missions are something where you're like, okay, that's just nothing. But here I was like, wow, one of the more memorable moments of the game was when I went to someone's house, invaded someone's house to retrieve something. It was a woman that people never heard of or haven't heard back from that they were telling me, hey, can you check up on this person? It turns out that that person's little sister killed her and is going crazy. Like, it's like, why did you do
this? What?
Yeah, you see her dead body in the basement and you see the little sister going, dude, this is all your fault. What are you doing? What have you done to me? And she's just like creeping around it's a stealth thing where you can kill her if you want, but I didn't. I just snuck in, got the thing I needed, and then get back out. Not everything is as crazy as that though, because there's some like fun, silly missions too. When you're just getting to know some of these characters as well, and you're like strolling around the countryside or you're helping them defend their neighborhood, it's not always like something crazy or outlandish, but of course all of that just stands out. And when I go to the main story missions, it's that weird thing where I want to see where this goes, but I want to keep exploring these side missions, keep upgrading my characters and finding new tools to play with. And with and that's where like the Deus Ex like gameplay goes. You can be stealthy, guns blazing, go around. And the weapons themselves, they're a lot of fun to toy around with. Some of them being like guns in a shooter, but then you get all these weird sci-fi weapons, like a precision rifle that acts like almost like a long range, not a shotgun, but like a little semi-revolver. And there's even a smart shotgun and some other things that remind me of Perfect Dark. And the augments too. I mean, oh my gosh, hacking into things, which was something that Watch Dogs introduced. And this game is like, no, you don't know how to hack. We know how to hack. You can hack into everything. You can hack into a person and make them shut down, make their guns explode and them paralyzed. You can distract them, do all these other things, or you can hack in and, you know, I'm going to discover this place or I'm going to turn on this thing. And the amount of freedom in this is just so wonderful. And I mean, yeah, with a big world, you're thinking, okay, is there fast travel? Yes, there's fast travel. There's vehicles. It's a lot to take in. And yes, there are bugs. I'm not saying there aren't, but nothing has broken down the game or where I am taken out of the world. There is like every now and then I'll look the side. There's like a character's texture is not fully loaded in yet. Or in one rare case, there was a part where I was meeting a character out into the no man's area. I'm meeting her in her neighborhood. And there was this truck that went like, pew! It just flunged into the sky. But then the game kept going. The game didn't...
It went into the sky?
Yeah, it did. It was just like, phew. And I just looked at that. I'm like, wait, where's that car going? But then the game just kept going. Like the game, after that, there was no bugs. So I kept looking back at my NPC characters in moments where they're with me. I was like, okay, you got to glitch through the floor, okay? I can't be crazy and think this game actually works because everybody else is saying it doesn't, but it's working for me. And they've never done that. It's like I'm going crazy here. But yeah, this is actually, I'll be the rare one, but this is one of the best games I've played this year. There's some moments in this that were just so sweet and heartwarming even. Like, I talk about the parts where it'll go crazy, of course, when you're in this futuristic world, but gosh, there are just moments where you're getting to know these characters and even meeting their parents and seeing their business that they do. And, like, there's some just innocent parts of this game that I'm like, that this level of storytelling I don't even see in most games. And it's just sad that the reputation of this is just bogged down by just the performance that a lot of people are having. And some people are playing it just fine. I had people commented on my post saying, hey, I've been running the game pretty well too. So this isn't everybody. It's going to be weird because I'm going to give this, you know what, I'm going to give it almost a 10 out of 10, but a 9 or a 10 out of 10 around that age,
I was wondering whose age you were talking about. Okay.
I don't know. My age. I'm getting anyway. But I will put it in a caution that I would recommend if you were to get this game for the patches, which I mean they're working on the patches. I would recommend if you really feel that nervous about your experience getting ruined by these bugs, then maybe wait a couple months. But get it when you can, because it is worth it. And honestly, I will just replay this game again when I get on, because I have a free upgrade to the PS5 version. So the day when I get a PS5, I just want to play through the game again, just to see what it looks like on there. Because it's a gorgeous game, even on PS4. There was a scene where I was just looking up at the sunlight and just reflecting on the ground. I was like, wow, this is beautiful. And meanwhile, Johnny Silverhand's like, hey, can you pay attention to me? I'm trying to tell you something. I'm sorry, did he say something? Anyway, yep, sorry guys, I love the game. Sorry, I'm going to get hate for it. Anyway.
Okay, cool. Then that's something.
Yep, that's something. Now on to the news, which... there are some things I wanted to say and then get to you. So I mentioned the backlash Cyberpunk got, and one of it was, hey, get this game out now. Oh, you shouldn't have rushed this game. And I'm like, well, you told them to get... Anyway, enough of that. There is one thing I will fault them for. and which is an issue I did have with the Game Awards. They had an announcement trailer for Cyberpunk 2077 back in, I think, 2012. Now, this is my opinion with game development, and hey, someone's able to, someone if they want to chime in and say why big studios got to do this. If your game is not, excuse me, over 50% complete, don't tell people about it. Don't have a reveal trailer for a game that isn't supposed to be done for a while. Because I think that's why people just got so anxious. They're like, I'm gonna threaten the lives of your parents if you don't get this game out to me. I need it now, which I'm still gonna say you all are petty, and all you who bought the game and got buggy, you get what you deserve. I'm sorry. When you bully game developers to get the game out and then complain right after, I mean, what am I supposed to say? Should I feel
sorry? I mean, yeah, I see that. That is pretty good.
I mean, they actually came out and said why they released in this days, because they had pressure, which I'm like, no crud you did with all those death threats. I mean, yeah.
Folks would be mad at so many things.
But so there were two things that people were mad at regarding the Game Awards, that where they were like, man, I didn't think this was very good, or this had a lot of problems. One of it was the announcements. That one I can agree with. And what they're referring to is the games where they showed you a CG trailer, a tease of a CG trailer that reveals, hey, this game is going to happen. We're announcing this. Stay tuned for more. And when we did that live stream, I did express, and I was like, okay, that was BS. Like when Mass Effect said there will be more Mass Effect. Okay, why? And they're like, sorry, that's all we got. Don't do that. If you're not ready to talk about a Mass Effect game, don't talk about Mass Effect.
Teasers.
Yeah.
It's not
even a teaser, because you don't even know what the game looks like. It's a CG teaser. That's what makes it worse. It's like, okay, you're not even selling people the game. And especially when the last Mass Effect game that came out was Mass Effect Andromeda, which fans of the series really hated. I mean, I love Mass Effect 1 through 3. I never played Andromeda, but if you're coming out just on that, then just having a CG tease, I don't think that works. It's in with Perfect Dark, which I love Perfect Dark, but there hasn't been a Perfect Dark game in several years. And when they had the CG trailer for that, I didn't even recognize it was Perfect Dark until Joanna came at the end of the trailer. And well, that sounds really nasty. When Joanna showed up at the end of the trailer, there you go. Okay. Regardless, I am totally against that, of just revealing teasers, kind of small announcements. Hey, showing in titles of a game. I don't think you should. You should bring out footage of what the game people are going to be playing instead of just throwing people off. And there was a lot of that. You know, there were games that had gameplay. You mentioned a game that you were looking forward to, It Takes Two, which I'm looking for that too, the Joseph Ferris co-op game. You know, you play as two toy. It's like a split-screen co-op. You don't remember that? It Takes Two?
A toy? I don't at all.
I thought you were like, wow, that looks cool.
I'm sure I was. I just don't know what this is now.
Well, maybe you'll have a refresher, but that had gameplay regardless. That game told you what was going to be. Back for Blood, that's another one. That was the Left 4 Dead spiritual successor that Turtle Rock announced and then gave gameplay for it. Not only did they show gameplay trailer, at the end of it, there was a beta sign up. So people are getting to play the game already. And yet Mass Effect and Perfect Dark are like, okay, well, we'll be here whenever. When are they even coming out? 2024, 2026? Stop doing this. Enough of that. Here's the thing that people really got upset with the Game Awards that I thought was like, okay, I get it. And this is what people really hate. They hated that The Last of Us Part 2 won almost all awards. That got a lot of negative reactions.
I was going to say that I saw a reaction that was basically, why the something did they tell us to vote when it only counted for 10% of the actual? I was like, oh my gosh, are you serious? That's lame as I don't know what.
That is a great point, because I saw that too, where we were later discovered that despite even though you can vote, it's 10% player's choice, but 90% it's by people from the gaming industry, which I'm like, okay, that's gonna be a little unfair, especially when some of the award announcers were people who were a part of The Last of Us Part 2. Troy Baker, Brie Larson is actually BFFs with Laura Bailey. So that made it extra weird when she revealed the winner for best voice actor or best performance was Laura Bailey. But yeah, so The Last of Us 2 had its fans, but it was one of those games where the critics loved it way more than the audience. Like, if you look at the audience reviews, they were mixed or negative. I haven't played The Last of Us Part 2. I only know everything of the story. And by that, I don't think it deserves all the love and awards that it got from the Game Awards. But again, I stick by saying I don't give a crud who wins. Hey, if you win that award, good for you. To me, you're not the best game, but to them, you are. That's great. Hey, thumbs up that people really liked you.
I just found the trailer thing. That was that the It Takes Two official reveal trailer. This is the one that I kept saying, like, it looks like the Page Master because of the book that was with the face and eyes and stuff. Yeah. So I see, you know, it toys. It's like Toy Story, but kind of like awesome. Okay. Sorry, go.
But that game showed gameplay though. And some of those didn't. But anyway, back to Last of Us Part 2. Which, the reason why I was like, you know, I'm not going to buy this game, because as much as I enjoyed the previous Naughty Dog titles, I grew up with Naughty Dog, Crash Bandicoot, Jak and Daxter, Uncharted, I even loved the first The Last of Us. But knowing everything about the story and seeing all the cutscenes and everything, I'm like, I'm not paying $60 for a Star Wars sequel. Because that's what the story was written like. It was like The Last Jedi, and I was like, okay, I'm not a fan of this. But some people are, hey, we had someone in the chat who said, I love The Last of Us Part 2. But there are plenty of people who did not. And they were very unhappy with the game getting all the awards. And I get it. Because when you also look at the Player Choice Award, the one award category that is 100% the voters, the winner of that was actually Ghost of Tsushima. So you see that, like, the gaming community, they love that game way more than The Last of Us Part 2 overall. But I do feel like it was rigged, because there was a lot of hype over The Last of Us Part 2 leading up to this. Like, they had, I think Naughty Dog or the Game Awards, they started this hashtag, are you Team Ellie or are you Team Abby? And I'm like, okay, if you're starting that right before the Game Awards, you're just telling me, because I have this feeling, okay, why are you hyping up specifically The Last of Us Part 2 at the Game Awards? Unless if you're telling us that it's going to win everything. And then, what, it won almost everything.
I've never played it. I mean, it looks nice, like an interesting story, nice, but just couldn't be anything I'd play.
So, do you like The Last Jedi?
I have no idea.
Do you like Fantastic Beasts too?
There's a game for it?
No, I'm saying, like, that's what the story is like. Like, if you've seen those films, it's written like that, where it's like, oh, we got a story. Oh, gotcha. No, it's gonna go this way. And I'm like, okay, that's not how you do plot twists. All right,
that's hard, because I mean, it didn't start off as in anything like the original book. They had to figure out what to do with it to become it wasn't a plot, it was a textbook. So that was the whole thing too.
It was the whole thing about, like, building characters up just to kill them off within the first 5 or 10 minutes. Like, that to me, that's not good writing. That's like, okay, we're just doing this just because we want to do plot twists. And I'm like, okay, stop. And I heard, like, Abby's not a well-written character, and just, like, the there's so many plot holes, and also it goes on too long. That's the thing I hear so much about The Last of Us Part Two. It's like 10 hours too long, and it won like all the awards. Here's one thing that really got to me though. One of the responses from a friend I made over this podcasting journey, I'm not going to bring her name up because in case people get worked up on this, because when you think about it, you're like, okay, what? But then you look at it, you're like, okay, I totally get it. So she said, is it just me, or is the Game Awards just so white? Like, the hosts are white, the awards are given to white game or games with white characters, and are run by white developers. And I get what they were saying. I don't think the Game Awards is at fault to this, because this is Jeff Keighley's baby. And also, Sidney Goodman is Asian, so it isn't even like a full white. But I get it, is that the whole talk about wanting more diversity. And yeah, for example, the voice actor. So my only problem with Laura Bailey, otherwise I don't even care. Whoever wins. But the thing to keep in mind, Laura Bailey is a voice actress who's been in the industry for so long. She's voiced hundreds of characters. And not only that, but she has actually stunt casted or whitewashed. Like, she played a black character in Uncharted 4. And in The Last of Us Part 2, Abby is a transgender woman. She is not. And then you look at Miles Morales, who is played by a black guy. And the main character, Ghost of Tsushima, I need to get to that game, who is played by an Asian actor. And you have the award given to someone who's not even like transgender. She's pretending to be transgender. That's like, I could see someone looking at that saying, okay, we want diversity, but we're going to give the award to people who can like pretend to be in these roles that don't represent their race, sexuality, etc.
I mean, that's it with the acting though. I mean, it's not like you have to.
To me, I think it really is just that the game industry just really loves Last of Us Part 2. That's why they hyped the heck out of it. So even by then, I didn't feel like it was fairly won, even though I think Laura Bailey is a great actress. So, hey, she might deserve it. But it is mostly because of just how much it was just overhyping the game on it or during the awards, that's where I'm like, okay, I don't think it deserves it. But other people are like, no, she doesn't deserve it because, hey, look, why can't a black actor get an award or an Asian actor? And here's one other thing. The gaming industry is a little bit behind. This is kind of a hard thing, because when you talk about, hey, why don't you give awards to more diverse developers or games by more diverse characters, which we're getting more of that. As I said, Miles Morales, Ghost of Tsushima, there's more, like Deathloop is another game with black characters in the start. Regarding game developers, there aren't many game directors who are of color. Or they aren't enough that are making games at such a large scale. And I think that's an issue with the gaming industry, not necessarily the Game Awards. But what do you think about this whole thing of diversity in the Game Awards?
I get it. But it's complex. It can be any other thing, yeah. Like work diversity, like workplace diversity. It depends on how obviously who applies and what their culture thinks they're like. And that when there's enough diversity within the workplaces, then it'll show up to the awards. So it's kind of a bottom up kind of thing. That's my view of it anyways.
Well, many of these studios have a diverse workplace. I mean, with, for example, even Cyberpunk that just came out, there are plenty of developers who worked on it who are black or who are Latino or are Filipino. And I think that is important to know. There are diverse people working on these games, but the concern they have is diverse people in the top lead roles, like the director's chair. And that is something that, yeah, I have not seen a lot of as far as a big AAA game. There have been some, Like some of the older Star Wars games on PS2, I actually know him or Rich Sun. He worked on Star Wars. Not never mind. I'm forgetting the name of it. But whatever cases, they do exist. But I agree, it'd be cool to see even more of that. Because you even look at Miles Morales. Miles Morales is directed by a white guy, from what I know, the game. And I think same with Ghost of Tsushima. It's directed by Nate Fox. So even though they probably had like Asian writers because they want to get the authenticity of the culture. Yeah, I get it. It's just that I don't know if I put it on the Game Awards. I don't know how they're going to go through that. It's going to be an interesting thing on how they're going to progress going into the future years. Now, here's the biggest battle of them all. So people were mad about the Last of Us getting all these awards. I get it. You know, hey, good for them. They won these awards. You know, it wasn't fair and square. Whatever the heck. People, the gaming industry, they love it. They love Naughty Dog. I love Naughty Dog. I didn't feel like supporting this game. But there's one category, The Last of Us Part 2 won, that some gaming journalists are coming out and saying, no, you don't give that award to them. Could you guess which category it was?
Say that again.
So, Best Direction was awarded to The Last of Us Part 2. And Kotaku went out and read an article or wrote an article saying, no game that has an intense crunch time in the workplace deserves to be given the Best Game Direction Award. And they're referring to that, yeah, Naughty Dog has had an awful workplace. That's why I made jokes about Neil Druckmann when he came out and said, hey, I'm going to have a beer with everyone new. And then I said, yeah, and you're going to fire them too. Because that's what they did. They would, this is a real thing that happened in Naughty Dog. They would hire people who have no life, like they have no relationships with other people. They just love Naughty Dog and they just want to work on Naughty Dog games. And they would abuse the crud out of them, make them work like 60 to 100 hours. And after they would put them on contract to where they could work around paying them, but not having to pay them too much. They can just like, hey, you want you work on that? You're not going to get your bonus. Instead, we're going to let you go and go about your way. That's a real problem in the gaming industry right now. It happened with Uncharted 4 and it even happened with The Last of Us Part 2. They had people leave the studio while the game was still being worked on. So Kotaku grilled on the Game Awards for that. And then a game developer who nobody's heard of in years comes out of the blue to tell them to F off in his own words, really saying that. And he is the developer behind Duke Nukem. And he's saying, you have no idea what it's like being a game developer. You don't know the amount of work hours we all put in to make our game. Oh, and by the way, comparing 300-man development team to a 20-person indie studio is stupid. My opinion on this, I agree in that if you want to make this argument against crunch, you have to level a studio with abusive crunch practices to a big development studio with no abusive or little abusive crunch practices. And all these articles point to is they point to indie games. And I don't think that's the right comparison, because the fact that you're working on a smaller scales game, you do have that flexibility to say, hey, well, we're just going to work 40 hours or 30 hours a week. You have to look at, and there are bigger studios like Insomniac. They came out and said, we don't crunch our employees. Like, you could have used them. But I think, yeah, that's not the right contrast you want to put out. Now, with him saying that this is normal, grow up, deal with it, put on some big boy pants. Well, remember Duke Nukem Forever, the game that you decided not to finish and you passed on to Gearbox to complete it? Yeah, I don't think anybody forgot. And that's why Duke Nukem was trending. A game that nobody's heard of in years trends on Twitter because the creator of that series just went on a rampage against Kotaku. Now, what is your thought about that regarding this whole thing with crunch and
This is new information for me.
Yeah.
I don't really know much about this. So, yeah. It's bad. That's about all I know. I can tell from what you've said. So.
Yeah. But do you, I mean, what his defense is that this is normal, and hey, you know what, if you go into being a game developer, you need to expect working much more than 40 hours a week. Do you think that's like the proper mindset into being a game developer?
I don't know. I'm not in the field, but I mean, the 40 hours is a basic week, is a, you know, full-time standard week in the US. So
yeah.
I know, as long as you put that, what's that called? Anything past like whatever for it to be overtime. That's all I know. But I mean, there's obviously a lot of work as computers and coding, that kind of thing is. So I don't really know.
Well,
but overworking is obviously bad, because then that ruins your people.
It isn't just overworking. It's that the issue is these big companies overworking, and then the developers not even receiving their bonuses. So they're basically working more for less. Like, there's this whole argument of, hey, you got to pay for these microtransactions because the developers need to be able to feed their family. And that has been debunked, because those microtransactions and a lot of the profits, they go to the higher ups, and the developers, they get nothing. In fact, there's a percentage of game developers that report that they, despite being a full-time game developer, they barely can afford to be able to live in an apartment because they're not paid enough. Because of these contracts that these bigger studios are working around to make sure they can work and without having to pay as much. And that's the big issue going on with this crunch, is that developers are pretty much being turned over like a new leaf, or I mean, like an old shoe. So that's what he got blasted for on Twitter.
Can I just make a different visual?
Yeah.
Like changing sheets at a hotel, just gone. Okay.
Okay. All right.
I don't know. I just thought that was better. Anyways.
Yeah. Well, do you now with all this being said, with people having problems with it, some people didn't enjoy it. You said, hey, you had fun. So do you, with all this being said, like, what is your takeaway from this going forward of all this information that you know regarding the award ceremonies in the future for the Game Awards?
Maybe realize that it's just an entertainment thing. And
it's not an entertainment thing, darn it.
What? It's still entertainment. That. Like, I mean, video games are essentially entertainment.
Yeah.
And so it's a product of that. And a lot of things are flawed because we're people. And what's that called? When you, organizations and people and things get corrupted. So, I mean, I don't know what you're doing with your hands, but it's okay.
All right.
So,
last news story I got. And that is Space Jam 2 is coming to a theater. Well, actually, I don't. Theater. I should pull back on saying theater. Hey, you want
go to a screen?
Well, Warner Brothers, they're releasing their movies on HBO Max now, so you could see Space Jam 2 on HBO Max.
Coming to a screen near you.
Yeah. So this is a movie people have been looking forward to for years. Where's that sequel to Space Jam 2? It's happened.
Not necessarily.
No, I'll tell you, I watched Space Jam 1 recently. It's not good.
It's adorable.
It's bad. Michael Jordan's acting is bad in that.
Well, he's not an actor, and you know, I do.
But LeBron James is, so he's gonna set it right.
LeBron's in the second.
Yeah, okay. LeBron James is the basketball player for the sequel. I don't even know what
that's
is
fair.
But it's like, okay, we need a more recent basketball player. So LeBron James, he's going to be the star. And it's going
to because it's a popular, like, most popular one of that time frame, yeah.
Yeah, and it's going to be 2D animation again, so they're not doing the popular thing of making CG. So like Bugs Bunny and everybody, they'll be hand drawn, which is cool. We don't see that much anymore with movies. I think it's coming out next year, if not the year after, but it's coming soon. And to celebrate its release, they're doing a game jam for independent developers to make their own Space Jam game, which is cool.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, Warner Brothers giving the license away, saying, you know what? Instead of us making a Space Jam sequel game tie-in, you do that. So if it sucks, it's all your fault. Now that's...
I think it's cool. When the movie studios produce a video game, that's not normally good quality.
Well, occasionally it will. I mean, there have been some great movie-based games, but Space Jam, the movie game, I heard was also bad. There was the PlayStation 1 Space Jam game. This is going to be interesting because since it's made by independent game developers, what does that mean for the license? Like, are they going to be able to use the voice actors?
I would hope so. If they're giving them the opportunity, I mean.
Or sound bites, like what part of the license are they going to be granted? That I'm super curious about. And who will be the game developers that will come up and make a Space Jam title? I would be curious too, because we don't know that just yet. But that is something they're getting ready and setting up for next year. And how big will these games will be? I don't know as well. I would figure if you would make a Space Jam game, it would have to be around basketball. So if you want to make a small indie game around basketball with Looney Tunes characters, maybe you could get away with all of them being 8-bit. I don't know. The curiosity...
All of them being what?
Like retro pixel, 8-bit.
Oh, 8-bit. Okay, yeah. I heard a different word.
What did you hear?
Aphid. I don't know what aphid had to do with any of those.
Aphid is not aphid. It's a...
Like an aphid, APHID. That's why I was like, this cannot make any sense. I mean, less than normal for you, so...
What is that supposed to mean?
Obviously, you know what it means. Okay, so...
You're calling me dumb.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Making less sense. No matter. Okay, so is it Nintendo Switch
Direct time? That is what time it is. Because that's
all right. That's my airlines. Okay, so I never ever end up watching the Nintendo Direct.
You're not. I managed to catch it. Why?
I don't know. I just don't. Yeah. But this time I was able to catch it. I was like, oh wait, I can do something with this. What is that face for?
I don't know.
Okay, so I did something good, and so I wrote down some stuff. Okay, so Spelunky 1 and 2 is coming to Switch, and I have seen it. I actually put it in my Steam cart, or actually to follow. I didn't put it in the cart. I was like, but I wanted some more gameplay, and it looks very 8-bit, if it isn't exactly.
No, it's not. I played Spelunky and Spelunky 2. I have actually Spelunky 2 on Steam.
Okay.
It's inspired by 8-bit games, though. It's like those classic adventure where you're like somewhat Indiana Jones, but you're like something like that.
Yeah.
It's generated, so it's like a roguelite.
But also,
that's another thing, online co-op. So that means you and I get to play together.
It's a little bit gruesome. I was like, oh, the splash when you splash, the splat when you die.
I will tell you, it's so cutesy and cartoony that...
I watched a little. I was like, oh, okay. I wasn't ready for that.
Okay, never mind. Okay, anyway. I guess it's too much.
I mean, I'm okay with
something. Cartoon, yes.
Fist of Fluffs.
I killed a puppy.
Okay, so Fist of Fluffs. There are two cat games in this direct. And I saw it kind of reminded me of the Untitled Goose Game in the way that the graphics are. But yeah, it's very, well, it's about cats and you're end up being a cat. You pick a cat your avatar to be, and then you basically fight your friends and you interact with the environment and stuff. So that's fun. Very, very valet. It's something similar to Crazy Taxi. That's pretty much all I got out of that. It looked interesting. Tunche or Tunche. It was the Amazon rainforest adventure, and lots of what's that word called? When you no, but it reminded me a little bit of Carmen Sandiego, but not like the old one, the new one on Netflix, and the way that you just like wander through and like fight things.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks interesting. I would give it a try. Calico is the cat cafe, and that's it. It's coming out. I guess it's already out now because I wrote today. So that was earlier this week. So it's like if you wanted to ever run your own cafe, because it's a cat cafe, then this is the one for you, which I do love simulator games and I love cats. So I was like, you know what? I might as well. I've definitely done like my share of restaurant cities and simulation games I'm a fan of. So yes, I would try it. Alba.
Gave you a compliment.
Hello, Hoops, which is the cat. Hello, cat. Alba is the Dora face. The Dora the it reminded me of Dora the Explorer and Doc McStuffins. So you get to play as this little girl who helps animals, and you also explore the area that you are in, walking around, and people help you, and you meet people, they help you, and stuff like that. Hello, cat.
Yeah, I like how she just looked back at me like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Like, why did you take me from where I was? Exactly. They do. We have Gnosia. It's Gnosia. And it looked kind of like ethereal, but it's in space. So it was kind of like Among Us with a twist. You have to figure out who's not supposed to be there. Gnosia. I don't remember how to say it exactly. But I think it was Gnosia. So I don't think I would do it, but we'll see. Because I didn't really want to play Among Us at first. I was like, but it is really entertaining, even though lying. I mean, you don't have to lie. It's just, anyways. If you played Among Us, you understand. There's another one that was a horror game, and I don't do horror, so I didn't write it down. But there's a horror game for Switch. And speaking of Among Us, it is out on Switch as of this week, so holler at that for, you know, more options, more ways to play. And they said new maps and something else, I guess different other features, but probably skins and stuff, which is really cool, because yeah, I have it on Steam, which is very good to play, and I did get to play this past weekend with people on Twitch. So that is my wrap for my first actual watching of Nintendo Direct this year, at least.
Oh, but there is one game. Hello. So.
What? What else?
So the developers behind Shovel Knights, which that is the popular indie game I was referring to at the beginning of this. They have a new game coming out next month, actually. Late January. January 26th. It's not Switch exclusive, by the way. It's also going to be on PC, PS5, and PS4. But I think it's interesting. So if you don't know the Shovel Knight, it was a game that mixed in DuckTales and a bit of Zelda and Castlevania and Ghosts and Goblins and all that. So all these like classic side-scrollers, retro Nintendo games into one. And it's this cute little knight with a shovel. And you're going and defeating all these different bosses and saving everybody. I never got to play the game. I keep hearing how good it was. It's a game on my list that I should probably try and buy and play, because I keep hearing it's like one of the best indie games ever made. People love the Shovel Knight so much that even the character keeps making appearances on other indie games. Actually on Smash Brothers. That's right. He was an assist trophy in Smash Ultimate. So now they have a new game coming out. And I'm like, you know what? I'll probably get... If Shovel Knight is like on a cheap discount on Steam or Switch or whatever, I'll probably get it. But I also want to see their new game. And then I pulled up the name. But it's basically them taking all the things that they did with Shovel Knight and applying it to something more Metroid or Ninja Gaiden. Let me get to the name. Oh, it's the developer is Yacht Club Games.
But I learned what gacha means. I mean, in that, because I was told that Genshin is a gacha game, and I was like, who are we getting, or what are we getting?
All right. But the game is called Cyber Shadow, and it's coming out January 26th on Switch, PS4, PS5, so Xbox One, also PC. And it's like Shovel Knight, where mixing all these familiar retro games. This time it's like Metroid meets Ninja Gaiden and all that. It looks really cool. It might be hard. Like, I hope it's not too hard, but I don't know. But I'm looking forward to it. I want to try that game out. It might be my first 2021 game, because it comes out near the end of January. I know they have like Hitman 3, but I think that's probably the first game, 2021 game, I might play. But yeah, that was the one that stuck out to me. Cyber Shadow. Anyway, is that it? Well, we had a good time, but it's now time to
say... Now it's time to say goodbye. No, not
goodbye. Stop! Stop! Woman, you're forgetting we're hosting an event in 2 days!
I didn't forget. I remembered at the beginning of the year. Okay, cool. But I was like, I don't know when you get the thing out. But I was like, okay, so Saturday, December 19th, and gonna be from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Me, 1 to 7?
No. Oh, what'd I say?
Yeah, you said 1 to 6. We have okay. 1 to 7.
I'm sorry.
You're forgetting six that hours. 1 hour. That 1 hour of...
6 hours, warrior. Which is...
No, use your words. A lot. Use your warrior.
I was wondering who warrior. Okay. But, I will be warrior. Yeah. I will be a warrior.
Yes,
W-A-R-R-I-O-R.
We will all be warriors because we are defending the hospitals from COVID by supplying them with funds. That is what we'll do. Raise money for Cook Children's by making each other laugh, playing games. And we'll be playing games with a ton of amazing people, inviting some of the Black creators I've interviewed, all the diverse creators I've interviewed over the time. I mean, Winnyama coming on, Kalia Black. Actually, some of the TikTok creators that I interviewed recently, like Mini Parks, and actually the one I just interviewed, she might be coming on as well, Jayla Marie. But all these awesome, wonderful people who do these great things, they're just to have a laugh with us, regardless if you know their work. You will know them then. And they are, like, some of them are just excited to just meet you, Rihanna. Also, my sister and Kenny will be, what? Why? Winnie likes you.
Why were they excited to meet me?
Because of the awesome things you do on Twitch. And they want...
I don't know.
Well, the thing is... I want, because we talked about diversity and the Game Awards, and that's something that I stress on this podcast and also with other things going on. And with the events that, what?
I just want to know why people I haven't met want to know and meet me.
Because they find me cool. So they're like, oh, you have a co-host who looks like me? I want to meet them. What?
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay. I'm not. I was just confused. That's all, you know.
Well, why can't you appreciate the love if people love you? Like,
I'm not disregarding
it. 5,000 followers by the end of the year and you become famous.
I'm okay. I don't need famous. I'm all good. I mean,
paid for Twitch streaming. That's what you want, right?
I did just get my first payout, and I was really excited because I actually
thought that it was something happened to my account.
And I was like, oh no.
It's happening. Oh my God. Oh, and another thing besides playing games, we're also going to be making sweets. I already have my recipe ready. I'm not going to tell anyone what it'll be, except that it's a beverage. It's going to be something I drink. And...
Egg? No. Well, no, I don't know.
You don't know what it is. You don't know what it is. That's the thing. You don't know.
That's a surprise. Okay, that's fine. But like, I really love apple spiced.
Well, screw your apple
cider. apple slider.
There we go. Spice your apple slider.
No, no sliders. We don't have sliders here. Sorry.
No, no. But yeah, it'll be great. It'll be wonderful. And of course, thank you so much as always for just being a part of this. Next week, I'll be at the lake house. So likely there won't be a show, but the week after, we'll be back. Till then, Hermione617, find her on Twitch.
On Twitch?
Yes. Yeah. I just said that.
Okay.
Okay. All right. You don't have to strangle me. Don't.
What? There have been no threats of such violence. I mean, maybe I said I've hit you, but I mean, still, that strangle feels a lot. That's like me? Homer Simpson. I don't threaten to strangle people. Gosh.
Anyway. You'll be like, Homer, what are you?
That is actually the opposite direction, because Homer is one that strangles Bart. Anyway,
you can study that.
Why did I study?
Like, you know, I want to strangle Chase some days. Let me watch.
What do you mean? What is that about? I don't have this. I've been watching Simpsons since, you know, a long time ago.
Okay.
So that's not even like study.
Punch Press is on several. It's on several platforms.
Linktree.
Yeah, Linktree. All the
LIN.
We're on.
Dot EE. Yes. / Pons Press.
Yes, on your audio platform of choice. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at Pons Press, Twitter at ChasePons64. Until next time, take care.